Welcome back to Dauber Prospects Radio. This is season 3, I believe I'm in now. This is episode 67. I'm your host. My name is Peter Harling. And today's episode, I'm going to be talking about a couple of hockey games that I went to recently. Some player prospect scouting notes and observations and whatnot. As well as a KHL free agent for you to put on your watch list for the end of the season. Alright, so before I get going too far, I'll just let you know that thanks for listening to the episode. I hope you enjoy these shows. If you do, I always love getting any kind of feedback. What doesn't sound good? What is it that I'm talking about that you don't care about? What is it I'm not talking about that you do care about that you would like to hear me cover on the show? Feel free to give me a follow or a shout out at either Twitter handle. Farling, at P Harling, is my Twitter account. And then the podcast show is at DPR underscore show. And of course, these episodes are posted on Dauber Prospects. It's a fantastic site. You should check it out. And if you enjoy this podcast, also, you know, please go ahead and give me the subscribe, give it a 5-star, hit the share button, tell someone about it. All right, so starting off, the first game I went to this season that I want to talk about is an AHL game. That was October 23rd. As the Montreal Canadiens farm team, Laval Rocket, were in Belleville taking on the Ottawa Senators farm team, the Belleville Senators. So, first of all, something in this hockey game happened that I've never seen before. So this is really fascinating, and I want to share this little story with you. So there's a play where, in the third period, I think it was, Laval was pressing the attack on Belleville. And one of their players was driving towards the net and kind of knocked the net off. And not kind of, he like totally knocked the net off. It was absolutely unintentional. I think he was getting out of the way of Hogberg. However, the net went flying. The goalie pushed it off to the corner to make sure that the referee saw it. The ref saw it and they walked up, skated over and talked to the goalie, but didn't blow the whistle. The play continued. Belleville had possession of the puck and they carried it up the ice. And had possession in Laval's end. Meanwhile, the Senator's net is like off and in the corner. So I've never seen that before. I always thought that was an immediate whistle. So I'm not familiar with this rule, but I'm guessing that it is if an attacking player knocks the net off and the defending team has possession of the puck, there's no reason to call the play dead. It could prevent, you know, if you were in a situation where you were about to give up a breakaway or an odd man rush, you can knock the other team's net off and take the penalty. So this way they just don't blow the whistle. They just let the play ride. So I've never seen that rule in application before. And the play went on for a significant amount of time. I mean, we're talking 10, 20 seconds here. Long enough for the scouts in the section I was sitting with to be, you know, talking about it. Another really interesting sidebar to this, that so assuming this is a rule that it's basically like a delayed penalty where they don't blow the play dead until Laval gets possession of the puck back, because they can't, if they get possession, they can't score because the net's off. So with that mentality in place, if I were the goalie, I'd make a beeline to the bench to get the extra attacker. And for some reason, he didn't do that. And the fans were yelling at him to get off, but he had just had a conversation with the ref, so I'm wondering if that's prohibited, if they can't pull the goalie. So if anyone has any insight as to how this rule breaks down at the AHL level in particular, because that's the league that this happened in, or if this is a rule that transcends most leagues, and it's a very uncommon play, and I've never seen it before, but I love seeing things that I've never seen in hockey, and that happens fewer and farther between anymore. So anyways, back to the game. Let's talk about some of the players. We'll start with the Sens. First thing I noticed about this team is they were very good. I specifically like the line of Max Verano with Norris and Abramov. Particularly Abramov is my favorite player that was in this game on either team. I watched him play a fair amount in Gatineau when he was in the queue, and he is a terrific hockey player to watch. He's got fast feet, fast hands. He's very quick. He's got a very deceptive release. He loves to score goals. And he doesn't have great size, but he's pretty strong and solidly built. He's got a good low center of gravity. So he's not opposed to using his body and his arse to protect the puck or give a player a bump along the boards, try and create a turnover or separate the man from the puck. He's not a physical player, really, by any stretch of the imagination, but he's not passive. He's got a nose for the net, and he likes to find, when he doesn't have the puck, he likes to find pockets, and he's deceptive this way, too. So he'll be a little bit elusive. He'll try and be, you know, Brett Hull-like, where he can just kind of circle around a little bit, and then at the very right time, sneak himself into a scoring position. And he's got pretty decent ability to get one-timers off, even off bad passes or deflections. Sometimes they go under or over his stick or through his feet, but for the most part, he's pretty good at converting those. He's got good hand-eye coordination. He's got a nose for the net. He likes to drive to the net. He's not afraid to take the puck to the goal, worry about the defenseman later, as opposed to choosing the path of least resistance and just kind of do the lap around the outside and go behind the goal. So he had a really good game. He stood out a couple of times, creating offense. His line mate Norris didn't really like his game overly very much. There's one play in particular that he made that I really didn't like. I think he was trying to work the cycle, and maybe it wasn't his breakdown. Someone should have been there, but he basically just dumped the puck behind the Laval net around the boards to no one in particular. And he wasn't really under very much duress either. I mean, he had time. He had a minute and or so, a second or so, to take a look, put his head up and see what his options were. And he just kind of threw it around, and then Laval picked it up, and that was the end of the forecheck. Another player I've spoke about on this podcast, who I was kind of watching a little bit keenly, wasn't impressed, but wasn't disappointed, is Parker Kelly. I spoke about him on a recent episode and how he's coming out of the WHL after 4 years, played with Prince Albert last year, and they went to the Memorial Cup, and he was an important player for them as a 19-year-old. He's playing on the fourth line with Joseph Labatt and Jonathan Davidson, and his line mates were very unspectacular, pretty invisible. He did, however, score a goal. Parker Kelly finished on a two-on-one kind of rush. It was a nice pass across, and he drove her home. He didn't, outside of that, create a terribly large amount of offense, and certainly nothing really threatening. His game overall was very good, though. I found he was very good positionally. He was deployed on the penalty kill frequently. He's a hard-working player. He was good but not great. His attention to detail is very good. He doesn't give away free ice. He doesn't lose his check. He's very responsible defensively. His hands puck skills are, again, good, not great. And his skating is good. So the previous episode, I was pretty keen on him after some of the highlights and stuff that I saw from the rookie tournament. But now that the rosters are set, the rookie tournaments are over, and they're playing for real now, regular season games. The competition has made it a little bit harder for him to stand out and be as noticed as he was in the preseason games. However, this is his first year pro, and he did score a goal in the game I was at. So that was kind of cool of him. Very nice. Thank you very much, Parker. So I look forward to keeping an eye on him going forward and keeping tabs on him. The Sens' best defenseman was far and away Max Lajoie, both offensively and defensively. Again, not one of the bigger players, but played a little bit physical. He's the driver offensively on the blue line for them. I was expecting that to be him and Christian Jaros. Christian Jaros was pretty invisible that night as well. He wasn't being deployed as the number one defenseman, as a guy that played almost all of last season in the NHL. So my opinion on him, on Jaros, and his stock has declined a little bit. Max Lajoie looks like he might be suited or poised for an NHL recall kind of in the near future. He's definitely their best defenseman. Another defenseman that I was really impressed with was Jack Doherty. He's formerly from NCAA and USA Development Plan. He's a Milwaukee Nashville draft pick. He was let go. I think he played last year with the Rochester Americans after he was traded there. The Sens signed him as a one-year AHL contract. So don't be rushing to add him to your fantasy roster because he's only got an AHL contract. So I believe he would need to sign an NHL deal before he could get called up to the NHL with the Sens. However, his game was good, man. He played a very physical game. He threw a couple of really big hits. He was very good holding the possession in the offensive zone at the blue line. He made some really smart decisions with the puck while being forechecked and under duress. Kept the, not only just like kept it in the zone, but kept the play alive. Put it in places where a teammate could get to it, or put it on the tape of a teammate. And defensively, he was really good too. He's clear in the front of the net, and he's using his size and strength to his advantage. So he's a player that seems to be fading out of NHL limelight, but it was just one game, but I liked what I saw from him. And, I just took out the goalie too. Marcus Hogberg, was in net for Belleville, and he had a very good start to the game. I was very impressed with his first period. He kept Laval off the score sheet in the first. And then Belleville ran into some penalty trouble, and Laval started scoring with man advantage. And I noticed as the game wore on that Hogberg started to look kind of fatigued. He was moving really slow. He was getting up slower than he was in the first period. So that's something to watch out for him is perhaps his conditioning levels. Moving on to Laval. One player stood out to me more than any other on Laval. It's a player I've never really heard of and or seen play. So this was my first viewing of Alex Belzile, B-E-L-Z for the Americans, I-L-E. And there's a reason why I've never heard of him. He was never drafted. He's got 168 career ECHL games and 229 career AHL games. So he's a minor leaguer through and through. He was never drafted in the NHL. And he just signed his first NHL contract this offseason with Montreal. So he played for Laval last year. He had 74 games, 54 points, and 80 penalty minutes with 19 goals and 35 assists in there. So 54 points in 74 games is pretty good. But again, he's not a prospect. He's 28 years old. This year, he signed the one-year deal with Montreal. So he does have an NHL contract playing in the minors. He's wearing an assistant captain letter for Laval, and in his first 10 games, he's got 9 points, and he had 80 penalty minutes last season. Doesn't really have any this year, but I can see that he could be a little bit physical, a little bit maybe chippy and dirty at times. I don't think he's much of a fighter. He's not a tough guy, but he's definitely got some jam to his game. So he's perhaps a prospect to maybe kind of keep an eye on and see how he does overall in the scoring for the AHL this year. And there's a possibility that Montreal might say, hey man, why don't you make your NHL debut with us this year? Moving on to a couple more prominent prospects who you may be owning in your fantasy league that you're looking for some insights on how they played. Ryan Poehling, of course, is the number one prospect on Laval with the Montreal Canadiens. This is his first season in pro, so this was my first live viewing of him. So far this season, he's got 5 points in 10 games, so that's not bad as a rookie, half a point a game pace. And I thought that he looked good, particularly on the power play. He kind of failed to stand out for the most part in 5-on-5 until the third period when Laval was pressing to tie the game, and he was getting a little bit more ice time there. He's just feeling his way around the pro level. It's a lot faster. It's a lot tighter checking. I know he had that great game at the end of the year at the NHL level last year. But that standalone game aside, he looks good. He's not NHL ready, in my opinion. He's very close. I think he is where he needs to be. He's getting the time and the seasoning and the development that he needs. So if you own him in a keeper league and you're thinking, oh, hey, Calder Trophy candidate Ryan Poehling, 4 goals in his NHL debut last year. Cool your jets, but don't dump him. Don't give him up. Don't give him away. He's looking good, but he is where he needs to be. And the other player I was really glad that he was playing was Caden Primo. I've seen him play on TV a number of times now in the NCAA, in the Beanpot, And I saw him play with the World Juniors with USA last year. And man, this kid's just fantastic. I love everything I see about Caden Primo. He is very impressive. In his five first games in the AHL, his goals against average is a shade under two, 1.99. But he never looked tired, unlike Hogbird. He always looked very engaged in the game. He's got good size. He's 6'3". He's very athletic. He's quick. He's got fast legs. I like the way he tracks the puck. He stays up off the ice a lot. And this is something that really stands out to me every time I watch him play. He never looks desperate. He's always in control of where he wants to be and where the play is. He's always between the puck and the goal. He's not scrambling. If he goes down on his knees to take the bottom of the net away, he pops right back up whenever he needs to. He looks very methodical. And that is a sign of great goaltending. And his Carey Price does that a lot too. He's, you know, doesn't overextend himself. He's not diving a lot. He's very calm and cool and collected. So that is the better part of the notes I had of interest from that game. A couple days later, I went to another game here in Kingston as Sarnia Sting were in town on the 25th. And that game wasn't really much of a contest, but there were a number of Sarnia Sting players that I watched that I thought were fantastic and are fantasy hockey relevant. So let's dive into those guys. The first one would be Jameson Rees. He stood out big time. He was the best player on the ice, and it wasn't even close. So he's drafted last year in the second round by Carolina. He was 44th overall. So he's a pretty high draft pick. He's 5'11", 172. So yeah, he's a little bit small by NHL standards, but he's not a small player necessarily. Excuse me. He plays a pretty physical game. A lot of the notes I saw from him from last year, and I didn't get to see him live last year, but is that he was a bit of a buzzsaw. He's out there causing havoc. He got suspended. He had a lot of penalty minutes. I didn't see any of that in this game. He was just all skill all the time, all night long. Maybe it's because he knew that he was playing a lesser opponent in Kingston, and it was an opportunity for him to rack up some stats, and that's exactly what he did. He had a hat trick and an assist for a four-point night with seven shots on goal. He was fearlessly driving to the net. He's not afraid of the hard areas. Either in the corner, he'll go and throw his body up against the defenseman and try and pin him against the boards to knock the puck loose for an opponent or a teammate. If he has the puck, he's not afraid to drive it towards the net as opposed to taking the wide, safer route. And he did this a couple of times, and he was extremely proficient at it. He takes one hand off his stick, so he'll have the puck, and he'll be in the offensive zone. He'll be skating with speed, and he'll try and go wide around a player, and he'll like put his shoulder down, lean in towards the player, put his arm out that's between him and the defenseman to protect the poke check and keep the defenseman off bay. And with one hand on the stick, he's got excellent control of the puck, and he did this fantastically in a highlight reel goal, where he got right around the defenseman doing exactly this, and the defenseman was like all over him, pushing him, holding on to him, doing whatever he could to shake him loose off the puck, and he couldn't. And still with just one hand on the puck, once he got in the position, he was able to lift it up over the Kingston goalie. I was like, oh man, that is a pro goal right there. And then he also scored a highlight of the weak CHL goal in that game too, where he just kind of walked right around a defenseman and put it through the goalie. And I retweeted that, so take a look for that. It's a CHL play of the week. It was a pretty, pretty goal. Next player on the list to talk about is a couple free agents. So the first one would be Sean Josling. He's a 20-year-old. He's 6'1", 179. So he's in his fourth and final year of OHL. He's never been drafted. And when I say never been drafted, I mean he was never drafted in the OHL. He signed in the OHL as a free agent, and he's not been drafted by an NHL team yet either. Last year he had 62 games and he had 52 points. So that was a pretty good season. 22 goals. This year in 13 games, he's already got 10 goals and 27 points for just a fraction over 2 points per game, which is has him tie third overall in the OHL scoring. He was tied for first over the weekend, but Byfield put a little gap between him. The game I watched, he had a goal and four assists, so he had a five-point night as well. That was fantastic. And that was the last game of his six-game point streak in which he posted 21 points in six games. So this is a good example of a player. He doesn't really have any glaring holes in his game. Could be a situation of a late bloomer, or it could just be a situation of an older player taking advantage of, you know, younger players in the league that he plays in as he comes of age. But, you know, he's got decent size, 6'1", 179. And he is definitely going to be someone that NHL teams will be taking a look at for a contract offer towards the end of the season. I would not be surprised if he was signed to an AHL contract for the balance of the season at the end of the year, depending on when Sarnia's season ends, just to give a team an opportunity to see how he looks at the AHL level at the end of the season, and then maybe consider going forward with him next year. Another player in a similar situation, he was drafted by Toronto but not signed by them and went back into last year's draft. So Toronto drafted him in the 2017 draft in the sixth round, 172nd overall, I think it was. And he was not signed by the Leafs, which makes him a free agent. He has had some injury problems. He missed the start of the season, so he's only got four games in right now. The game I saw was his second game, and he had 2 points in that one to give him 6 points in four games on the season. He was invited this offseason to an NHL training camp. That would be in Columbus. He was not offered a contract by Columbus. They just invited him, and he played. They said thanks very much. Last year, he had a breakout season, though. 77 points in 32 games. So this is his overage season in the OHL, and he's the captain of the Sarnia Sting, 6'1", 168, and he just plays in every situation. He's very good on both sides of the puck. His compete level was high, skates well, has size, has skill, creates turnovers, causes takeaways. There's not really much to not like about his game, but his offensive upside, projectably at the pro level, is a little bit limited. So if he ever does make it to the NHL, it'll be in a bottom six kind of role. The next player on Sarnia I want to talk about really impressed me, and that is their goalie, young Benjamin Goodrow. He was drafted this summer in the OHL. Sarnia picked him with their first pick, so seventh overall in the first round to the Sting. He's been lights out this season, and Sarnia has been playing him a lot. He had a 49-save debut in the OHL and a 5-1 win. He'll be going to the U17 tournament, representing one of the Canadian teams coming up in November. And I liked a lot about his game. He tracks the puck really, really well. He was very active. He's very quick. His reflexes are lightning fast. There was a play that looked like a sure goal as Kingston's import player kind of cut across the crease, made a little head fake, you know, backhand forehand, and then I thought it was in. And so did he, I think. But nope, Goodrow had it in his glove. He was able to get his glove up and catch it, snag it out of midair. Very impressive save. I liked how he was strong on his edges and his pushing. So when he went down on his knees, he could get from like the left or the right side to the other side really quickly with a really good strong push. He's a pretty athletic goalie, so he should be a high pick, but he's not draft eligible until the 21 draft. So not this draft in Montreal next summer, but the one after that. So you put him on your long range watch list, maybe. Another interesting thing about him is he'll have some competition now. Today, London made an announcement that they traded their goalie, Kui, to Sarnia for the goalie that Sarnia just picked up off waivers, and I think maybe a draft pick or something like that. But anyways, he's a veteran goalie, so I guess they want to insulate Goudreau. They don't want to overwork the kid as a rookie in his first year. Give him someone who knows the ropes in the league really well, maybe can share his book on shooters. Just kind of, you know, take the slow approach on the development of Goudreau. But he's someone to keep an eye on. I'm really keen on this kid. All right, so that's it from that game. I could talk about a couple of Kingston guys, actually. I don't have any notes on them, but there isn't much to talk about, really, with the fronts. Shane Wright, of course, the exceptional status player. Didn't have much of a game. He had a couple rushes. He looked, you know, good, but not great. One thing I thought was interesting was he's a center, but he wasn't taking faceoffs for Kingston in the offensive zone. I'm not sure why that is. I'm speculating because they think that he's the best shot on that line. So he was lined up at the bottom of the faceoff circle. So if they won the draw, he had a, you know, the red dog quick shot opportunity. I'm more of the mind that it's more, you got to win the draw first, right? You could put the best shooter in the world there, but if you're not winning the draw, it doesn't really matter. But as a 15-year-old, perhaps he's not the strongest on faceoffs yet. Pinchuk is the European import that they have. He had a really good game. I liked what I saw from him. He has decent size, speed, strong on the puck. Zaid Wisdom, of course, is, I've mentioned him before. This kid's fantastic. I love him. I don't know if he's ever going to make it to the pro level, but his hands really need to do some developing. His puck control skills and his shot, they're good, but not great. And this is his draft eligible year, so I'll be looking for season-long progress from him, and if I see it, you'll hear about it. I like this kid. His work ethic is second to none. You know, he'll drop the gloves. There's a lot to like about him. That's about it for Kingston. All right, so that's that segment. Just wrap up this podcast. This one will be a little bit shorter than some of the other ones. No guest today. It's just me rambling. But I came across an interesting note. There's an Elite Prospects Ringside article. If you subscribe, absolutely give it a read. If you don't subscribe, get on that. And it's about KHL free agent Konstantin Okulov. So this guy's 24 years old. He's playing with SKA in the KHL. He's 6 foot, 185. And if you've never heard of him, don't feel bad. You know, he's never NHL drafted, so his NHL rights are unowned. He never played for Russia in the Olympics. He's never played for Russia at the World Juniors. So if you're in, you know, United States or Canada listening to this and you're like, yeah, I've heard of a lot of Russian players, but I've never heard of Konstantin Okulov, O-K-U-L-O-V is how you spell his last name. You're not alone. So that's why you're listening to this podcast, because I'm going to tell you a little bit about him. On that fantastic article on Elite Prospects, they give a lot of video clip breaking down the strengths of his game, and there's a number of them. He's a speedy playmaker. He's very deceptive and creative with the puck. He's good for little head fakes and misleading defensemen as to what his intentions are. Feeding passes between defensemen's legs to open players. He's not overly physical, you know, 6 foot 185. He's not small or slight, but he doesn't play a power game. He plays a much more smart game. And that's fantastic. You don't need to play a very physical game if you're smarter than your opponent. He's really great at forechecking. He's a little bit tenacious on the forecheck. He's very good at taking pucks away, intercepting passes. And I love players that do this. You know, I get really, really tired of players that just kind of go through the routine motion of forechecking. You know, you dump the puck in, the goalie stops it for the defenseman picks it up behind the net, and the forechecking player does like a flyby. Maybe he'll wave his stick in the general direction of the guy that's got the puck, and then he'll just do a circle back and fall back into a defensive posture or go for a line change if he's tired. I love players that go after it, you know, that just go and get that puck. They have the mentality that's my puck. How dare you touch it? Give it back to me right frickin' now. And that's kind of what I saw from some of the clips of Okulov. The article I read that talked about him, it says that he plays only about 14 minutes a game. So he's playing on SKA or CSKA. They're a pretty loaded team, but he's fifth overall in team scoring with 14 points in 20 games. There's some recognizable names on this roster, even to North Americans. Kirill Kaprizov, Lyndon Vey, Gregorenko, and a few more. This team won the Gagarin Cup, so they're champions. So he was on that team last year as well. 48 games played, 31 points. And then in 19 playoff games, he had 14 points. So this 24-year-old is trending in the right direction, and he's in his prime. His KHL contract ends at the end of this season, and he's let it be known that he's interested in coming to North America. And on Hockey Night in Canada with Elliot Friedman, Chris Johnson, and it's in the 31 Thoughts article from October 23rd, that there's two teams that he's interested in playing for in North America, and that's Toronto or Montreal. So a lot can happen between now and then. Another team could come along and make him an offer, or maybe he's got a friend that goes with another team or something to that effect. Who knows? But he is already 1% Fantrax owned, which is interesting because he doesn't have any NHL rights, but Fantrax has him in their system. So if your league doesn't require you to have NHL-owned players and you want to get maybe the next Ilya Mikheyev, who's the Russian player that the Leafs signed this summer and is looking just great, then Konstantin Okulov might be the next guy. All right, man. So that's it for this episode. I hope to do another episode as soon as tomorrow, breaking down Boston Bruins' top 10 prospects. I hope to have guest Mark Alred from the Black and Gold podcast to come on and tell me all the mistakes I made on my rankings and share his top 10 list with me. If you want to read my top 10 Bruins list, it's on mynhltraderumors.com. I've done that one and I've done the Ducks. I got a bunch more coming for them in the next couple of days and weeks as well. So feel free to check those out. And hopefully in another couple days, I'll have another episode. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and thanks for listening. Have a good one.